My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Time Radio. This time we're nearing the end of our Resident Evil series with Resident Evil 5, aka Resident Evil Retribution. And unfortunately, we're down a man because Ronald has to, and I quote, take an extra shift at the dick sucking factory, which I thought was kind of homophobic. I'm not sure if he was being serious or not, but you know, if you didn't like that joke, take it up with Ronald, assuming it even was a joke. So we do have Brandon here, and I am going to make Ronald record a little thing about, you know, what he did or didn't like about this movie. So I guess let's go around the horn and just, what did you think of this penultimate Resident Evil? Brandon, you go first.
So I'd say there's a lot not to like about it, but there maybe were a few good things. And one thing that I noticed, though, is that this is probably an easy movie to skip. If you did want to watch the last movie, you probably still didn't have to watch this movie to really know anything that's going on. It's pretty self-contained, considering it's the fifth movie in a series.
I think the only thing you'd really need to know is that Wesker is very briefly a good guy, although I think they undo that literally in the opening prologue of the next movie.
I think they immediately undo it, yeah.
Yeah, and also that Alice has her powers back, which I guess she just lost them for essentially a movie and a half, basically.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I'm going to go next. This is, okay, first of all, I'm not alone in this opinion. Ignacy Villed something or other. I'll look it up. Who used to be the head film writer for the AV Club. Also shares this opinion. So I'm not like totally insane. This AV Club. Come on. Ignaty Vishnevitsky, I think. But I think that this is the best Resident Evil movie, weirdly. It is still stupid as fuck, but Paul W.S. Anderson in this one kind of figures out how to deliver an exciting action scene, which I don't think he really like ever did in the previous ones. And he also finally is just sort of honed in on, okay, the plot in this is stupid, but what I want to do is just action scenes and like arrestingly cool images. And he just strung those together. And it's kind of, as a result, I had like an incredible amount of fun watching this movie, just being like, what's the next weird thing you're going to show me or cool action scene? It does drag a fair amount when they get into the gunfights, but they do get back to Kung Fu. The Kung Fu scenes are very good. I mean, for this kind of thing of this era, blah, blah, blah. And some of the like images that he throws on the screen are great. Yeah, no, it is stupid as fuck. And a lot of the stuff that it chooses to do, like the clones, for instance, just do not matter at all. And I'm kind of baffled by why they did that. It seems like it was just inflating the film's budget for no reason. But still, I would actually say the fact that it's so self-contained also means just go watch this movie without watching the other Resident Evils. Although, I guess maybe then you won't be suffering from the soft bigotry of low expectations and we'll just think it's stupid. Whatever. Anyways, Rahul?
Wow. I don't know if we've ever had such a polarized set of opinions, but I think this was one of the worst Resident Evil movies. The dialogue delivery is just like every actor and actress has just totally given up on the franchise. Action, just awful. You know, they're just sort of like, I don't know. I don't think it just felt like a series of poorly done vignettes to me. It almost didn't even feel like a movie. It was just so bad. I did notice that they tried to do something with the music and I didn't feel like it really fit because they tried to make things like super epic and nothing was super epic. I don't know if you guys have the same opinion. That was one feeling I had.
I weirdly liked the score. I don't know.
Yeah, I felt they kind of, I don't know if it actually existed at the end of 4, but they used a like sort of an epic orchestral techno-y score thing over the intro scene that carries over from the end of 4, and they kind of kept reusing that theme, like the main melody and whatnot, and that to me kind of got, I don't know if old isn't the right word, but I didn't really like it.
I guess maybe I didn't notice it until, like, I watched this half and half, essentially, because I fell asleep. Not because of the movie, necessarily, just because I've got an infant, so I fall asleep a lot now. But I noticed the score on the second half and thought it was really cool. Maybe if I'd been, like, picking up on it the first half, I would have gotten bored with
it. No, I think the score in isolation is good. I just don't think it fits the movie. Because, you know, they try to, like I said, they're trying to make certain scenes epic, but they're just so not epic. It's just so bad. Yeah, so no, I don't recommend this movie, sadly. You know, you could almost say that you could just watch this and skip the whole series too, because I do a little recap for no reason at the beginning.
Yeah.
So,
including introducing a bunch of shit that does not matter, like Dr. Isaacs comes back, and he matters a lot in the next movie, but not at all in this one.
Wait, Isaacs comes back in the next movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Anyways, I guess let's roll for the summary. And also, pause here where I will insert whatever Ronald says. So,
hey, this is Ronald recording some thoughts on Resident Evil 5, I believe, Retribution. Which, so this movie, I don't even really know what to say about it, honestly. It's incredibly stupid. It's probably the dumbest of the Resident Evil movies, which is like a pretty high bar. Terrible dialogue, the story barely hangs together. A lot of times it just feels like disconnected scenes one after the other. None of the characters are interesting, even though they're a lot of characters show up from the old movies. They are often completely separate from who they were. So it's kind of meaningless. And yeah, like, there's just nothing that much interesting going on with the story. And despite all that, this is probably the best one, or maybe the second best, if you value the story, because the first one actually has an okay story. Because this movie is just, like, a bunch of disconnected scenes that are all really visually interesting and, like, what Paul W.S. Anderson does best, I think. So, like, yeah, I think he actually kind of nails most of the scenes in this, even though they, out of context or in context, it's just like what's happening. Like, if you just kind of take it for what it is, which is just like a bunch of random Resident Evil crap happening, some of it not necessarily contributing to anything in the overall story, it is actually it's kind of a gorgeously shot movie. The action scenes are fairly interesting. I wouldn't say that they're like dynamite or anything. I still don't think that they really have that level of stunts and martial arts that, like, a really good martial arts movie would have, but they're, like, pretty decent, and they're a lot better than most of the other movies, and they're interesting. So, yeah, I think that this movie is actually super fun. Some of the lowlights in this movie was just, like, the amount of clones, the kind of the questioning of reality in this, because it's just confusing, and it doesn't really contribute to anything that this movie is trying to say. I don't think by the end there's like any question of what reality is. She doesn't end up really questioning whether she's a clone or not. They have a throwaway line about it, but it doesn't make any sense because we know from the other movies that she's the original and the only one that like bonded with the T-virus. So like we know that she's not a clone and she knows she's not a clone, but they like try to make that like as if it's a subplot, which it's not. They have like a little kid in this movie that speaks sign language, like cool for inclusivity, but like it's so random and I don't know what's even the point of that. That was some of the lowlights for me. Some of the highlights, I don't know, this movie's full of insane crap. They brought back the hammer guy from the fourth one and there's two of them now. At the start of the movie, she shoots the shotgun full of coins at a helicopter, and that works really well for some reason. They brought back Jill again, but she looks totally different from the second movie, so it's like, you may as well have had a separate character, because I honestly, even looking at him side by side, can barely tell that it's the same woman. I don't know why they made her look so visually different, but I guess that was something they did. Yeah, they brought back, like, a lot of the old characters. Most of them were, like, either clones or memory wiped or whatever. So it was, like, kind of pointless in my opinion, but yeah, whatever. I don't really have too much else to say about this. It was a fun time. I had a good time with it. It was very, very dumb, but yeah, I think this was a great movie for the podcast and one of the better ones we've seen recently. So I give it a recommend if you're into that kind of thing.
Wow, those are some fucking stupid opinions. I can't believe that idiot comes on here with that garbage.
Wow.
Just pathetic.
He just never learns, you know? I'm not even sure he watched the movie.
Yeah. Anyways, okay, rolling for the summary now. It's Brandon. So, Brandon, I'm going to give you 2 minutes, although, I mean, I say this every time. I would be genuinely astonished if you need that long.
Well, I have a hard time cutting things out, so I'll try to go very fast.
Okay, fair enough. Would you like 3 minutes? Fuck it.
Sure. Also try to stick to two, though.
Okay. I'm giving 3 minutes on the clock. I'm going to give a countdown, and then Rahul, you mute too, okay? 3, 2, 1, mute.
Okay, so we start with a slow motion reverse scene of the aircraft carrier assault that was the end of the fourth movie, which is kind of cool. They go through the whole fight. Then there's this weird cut to a recap of the entire series up to now done by Alice. Then they go back to the carrier scene where then they play it forward in real time. And that ends with Alice falling off into the ocean, being shot. And, you know, we don't know what happens to her. Then she wakes up a blonde in some like random house where the guy who I forget his name, but like one of the military people from earlier that I really should remember his name, is her husband, and they have a daughter who's deaf, and they're just like having breakfast and making jokes or whatever, and the zombie comes through the door. Oliveris, yeah, thanks. Zombie comes through the door, attacks them, and all of a sudden, yeah, like in their neighborhood, it's this whole big zombie outbreak. They're trying to escape. They end that ambiguously with like, we don't know if Alice survives or this Alice survives or not. But then we cut to another Alice, which is probably the one we know, back to being naked with the little sheet thing covering her in this completely like white lit room. And Spider Jill is trying to interrogate her, but she's not answering. So she keeps getting shocked. Eventually Alice gets released because the whole security system does a reset cycle and we don't know why. She ends up like leaving and walks through a recreation of a Tokyo outbreak scene from earlier in the series. I forget which movie. She fights her way out of that and she gets to this umbrella control room where she meets Ada Wong, who finds out that Ada Wong is working with Wesker, but Wesker is now separated from Umbrella because the Red Queen has taken over Umbrella, and Wesker's trying to save or extract Alice from this facility so that she can help him. Eventually she agrees to that and they move on. There's also an extraction team deployed on the surface to help them get out. They set up timed bombs on the surface to collapse the facility, and they're heading through these simulation pods to try to meet each other and then get out through elevators. Alice and Ada find the daughter from the previous scene hiding in a closet, and they decide to take her with her. There's a fight with Spider Jill. There's also a reappearance of the not pyramid head guys from 4. And the extraction team has to fight some Las Plagas parasite soldiers. Eventually they get to the elevator, but I think they're waiting for Ada, although I forget exactly why they're waiting. And then a giant licker shows up, beats up some of them and steals the daughter and goes and hides her. So Alice tries to go rescue her, and Spider Jill shows up with Ada as a hostage. And so then a gunfight ensues between the two teams. But eventually they run out of time. The bombs go off and flood the whole facility. A few of them do make it out on the elevator in time. But then you think the rest of them are drowned. However, once they're on the surface, it turns out that Spider Jill and Michelle Rodriguez and Ada Wong made it to a submarine during that flood and were able to get to the surface. So then they have some hand-to-hand combat. And also Michelle Rodriguez injects herself with a Plaga parasite. So she's super strong, like undefeatable. But in any case, eventually they defeat both of them and make it to Wesker, who's taken up residence in the White House, where he says that he's commanding like humanity's last stand against the Red Queen, who wants to wipe out humanity before curing the T virus or something. And that's it.
You went over, but who cares? Great work, dude. And with that, let's get into some high points, which I'm going to start. I think that the opening sequence of like that slow-mo thing where it kind of works backwards from Alice in the Water all the way up to the start of the carrier assault as a way of like keeping your, like showing you something cool while the credits are going. And then after that, they show it to you very quickly in fast motion was pretty fucking neat. Just a great and weird and interesting way of starting a movie.
Yeah, I really liked the reverse scene. I almost didn't like that they played it forward in real time, though. I kind of wish they had just left it as the reverse scene, but...
I thought about that, too, but the forward thing plays out so fast that I kind of didn't have time to be bothered by it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. For sure, if they did also, the forward in slow-mo, that would have been really annoying.
Yeah, the backwards plus the slow-mo makes it arresting. Either one on their own would have sucked, but together I'm like, huh, you're showing me something I don't think I've seen before. Neat, you know?
Yeah, that was cool. Oh,
also, during that sequence, we discover... Now, listeners and fans of Resident Evil movies will remember that Alice, in the previous movie, had a bunch of shotguns that were loaded with quarters, and for some reason, these were the most powerful guns in the like world. And here they are so powerful that she could literally take out Harrier jets by shooting them with her quarter shotguns. You know what? I like a callback, and that was funny to me.
Yeah, I like that they still included that detail, but it's also like... What the fuck, man? Like regular shotgun shells with like the pellets would probably are probably not like going to go that far. And I'm pretty sure quarters are like a million times less aerodynamic. So I don't know how they went so far, but you know, rather than
in this universe, quarters are king. What can I say?
Yeah.
Anyways, Rahul, can you think of one nice thing to say about this movie?
Yeah, you know, yes, actually. Umbrella aesthetics. Pretty clean, you know, I gotta say, reminds me of Apple.
On whom they are clearly modeled in a way that is definitely libelous.
No, there's some pretty cool umbrella scenes for sure. They're always cool umbrella aesthetics. Maybe it would get old if they made more movies. I don't know.
I mean, if you're not tired of them now, we're five.
Doesn't
in,
make
dude.
Any sense, honestly. But yeah. Like, well,
that scene,
anyway,
that scene yeah. where she goes into the control room and she turns on the light and it starts by illuminating the center.
Yeah,
and then
like
the four
the logo,
things of the umbrella light up and it radiates out. And then after that, the room lights up, and then finally the control guys like. Stations all pop out of the floor, and that was incredibly cool to look at. But I'm also like, man, can you imagine working there and having to go through that every time?
Yeah, and like they had to design and build all that extra like machinery, like the little platforms for the control people. And it's like you can't just put the desk there; like it has to be a little elevator platform.
Musker's like, no, it must go into the floor.
I mean, it took Apple like what 20 years to convince Steve Jobs that mice should have two. Buttons. So, yeah.
have they added a button?
Do they?
I think that there's a way where
I
you can
click. I thought it was still
on...
a sync. Like it appears like a single button, but it functions like two.
Yeah, but before it like legitimately,
it was just
one it was
stupid
only one.
Button.
Yeah,
that's so stupid.
Yeah, I know.
Can't handle that.
Brandon, do you have a high point?
Yeah, I did really like the martial arts scene after Alice gets through the Tokyo scenario and she's some zombies follow her into a hallway that leads out of that simulation. She does this like sort of gun kata, like where she has a pistol and she has a really heavy padlock on a chain and she's doing the whole, like, I don't know what it's called, but like swinging it around her body and then releasing it, all the momentum and throwing it at their face and whatnot. That whole fight scene I thought was really cool. I definitely wish there was more of that, but then she just leaves the chain there, so that's yeah. all we get.
Has Resident Evil ever done a cooler action scene than that? I was thinking maybe the laser hallway, but I don't know if that quite counts as an action scene, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. For an actual like fight scene, I don't think so.
Yeah. The Nemesis versus Alice fight could have been there, I think, if they had had normal editing on it.
Yeah, there's so many cuts in that.
So many chops.
Yeah.
Maybe the Nemesis versus the Stars. That was cool, but it wasn't much of a fight either.
Yeah, yeah. That was more of a massacre, honestly.
Which is cool.
That was just kind of a spectacle. Like, oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, that's a better way to
play it. Let's see. I'm going to go next, which is that they brought, I think, I forget his name, Wentworth Miller, maybe. Fuck, I don't know. They brought the Wesker guy back, and he's still doing that incredibly weird performance that Ronald said was like he had tentacles in his mouth and couldn't let them out.
Yeah,
I love that fucking performance. It's just so every intonation is so weird. It's like the Red Queen is planning to destroy humanity. And it's always it starts in the center of his mouth and then it goes to the left as the sentence continues in this very weird way where he always sounds super smug and snide.
He does. Good. He's good umbrella executive material.
Yep. Which is explains why he's the only one left, apparently, to the point where the rest of the company is just mind controlled guys run by an evil AI.
Speaking of the Red Queen, she's still like a well, you know, they updated the model. I guess she plugs a couple more GPUs in.
Not that many more, though.
Yeah, not that many more. She's just a cute, angry child now.
And like, everyone in an umbrella is like, we should take orders from this.
It was so incongruous that I actually ended up liking it.
Like, fuck it. I guess yeah, this is this now. This is the Red Queen now. Fine.
Yeah, this is the evil AI that took over. Okay.
I also love that they don't even bother explaining why she's evil and Wesker is good. Because it's like any explanation they had would, one, have been stupid, and two, have slowed the movie down. And they recognized that and just didn't bother giving one.
Yeah, Alice also, is just like, okay, I'll go with you.
The Red Queen's tried to kill me. You appear not to be. I guess we'll go with it. Also, what the name of the Red Queen actor is this time around. Actually, no, never mind. I'm thinking of the little girl that Alice briefly kind of adopts. The Red Queen is played by Megan Charpentier, which is not funny. But the little girl that Alice adopts is played by Ariana Engineer.
Oh, I saw that.
I did see that.
Yeah, engineer. I was like, huh, that is a, you know, it's like baker and shoemaker, I guess, engineer.
Yeah, I guess she was born in this very brief time between when engineers existed and when they stopped doing that for naming.
Yeah, like, I don't know when they did that. In England or something?
I guess. I mean, engineer is an English word, kind of.
Yeah.
Anyways. Brandon, I think I cut you off. You got a high point?
Well, I didn't. Oh, I do have a high point, but I was going to just say that I was going to just note that, yeah, the last interaction I think that Alice had with the Red Queen was at the end of 3 when the Red Queen was helping her against Dr. Isaacs and saying that there was all this equipment down in the lab for her to develop an antivirus. But first, we have to get rid of Isaacs. Like, that was the last thing I think we saw between the two of them. And then 4. Like, there was no interaction, as far as I remember. And then now 5, she's just fucking evil. So it's okay.
Yep. And again, no explanation whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, the explanation is that the Red Queen wants to exterminate all life.
But the last time we saw her, she was doing the opposite of that, Rahul.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. So it's like, I don't know. It's a low point. So we'll stick with high points for now, but...
So I think another high point is for me was that the when Alice rescues the extraction team from the, I guess it's not from the Las Plagas, but when they get pinned down by the giant liquor in the store that they're in, she shows up in a Rolls Royce and she just like slides and slams into the liquor and it flies through the like front windows of this store and gets knocked out. And it's like, okay, this thing was like the size of an elephant and a Rolls Royce just throws it like a ragdoll. It's like, yeah, I guess it's that heavy.
It's a sponsored placement for Rolls Royce.
Yeah, that
like, is that
beautiful
good?
British okay. engineering, I guess. It's good. They get horrible gas mileage, but they're so heavy you can defeat lickers and elephants with them. another one that I really, so for this movie, for some reason, everyone comes back as clones, which mostly is pointless. The last time I watched it, it pissed me off. Here, I'm just like, yeah, I guess I'm fine with Colin Salmon being in here for 2 scenes and getting a paycheck, whatever. But it does also mean that we get Michelle Rodriguez back. And I like Michelle Rodriguez. It's fun to watch her do Kung Fu and shit, you know?
Yeah. Michelle Rodriguez is the best.
Yeah.
She's just great. Yeah. I don't know if she's great here, but she's great in general.
I don't think they don't give her fuck all to do here.
No,
really.
Not really.
They give her 2 roles and both of them kind of are nothing, which is weird. Yeah, I don't know. Rahul, can you think of another high point?
Yes. So the concepts, like, if you were to, like, boil it down, if you were to take this movie and, like, boil it in and, like, take a little extract, like a single drop from the leader you boiled down, the idea of, like, an underground super, you know, like, remote underground simulation facility controlled by an AI that's, I don't know what it's simulating, but is doing something, is, like, intensely cool. So cool.
Yeah, so, like, the 60,000-foot view is very cool, and then when you come in on the actual movie, it's like, what?
It's like, well, the specifics here are all very stupid. And I'm the guy here who likes them. I don't think a single smart thing happens in this movie, but I just love the images so much. And I think that the two kung fu fights are really cool. Oh, and also I think that the scene where it's Ada and Alice and they're fighting twin hammer guys. First, they actually explain the hammer guys a little bit. It turns out that they're just more umbrella biological weapons research for God knows
what
reason.
Sort of explains it.
But yeah, like, I don't...
they're also like mass producing that weapon, that like hammer axe that they have.
Yeah, and apparently, do you think when they make this guy, they individually shove the nails through his head, or is that somehow crucial to the process of making him and just happens as a byproduct?
Yeah,
maybe there's like in their society, that's like a coming of age thing.
So you're saying that there's enough of these guys that they've got their own little society.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they need to like... Are you a man? No, you're not a man. You don't have a nail through
the head. It's like the septum piercing, but you know, it's just through their body and head.
I don't know. Brandon, you got another one?
I have some mild low points, I think.
Yeah, let's get into fucking low points, I guess, then. I've got some more scenes I like, but if I just call out every cool image, we're going to be here a while. And also, you guys are going to start saying the images aren't cool, and then I'm going to have to burn your houses down, you know.
Oh, please do. I'm tired of this house,
and
man.
That would be a cool image.
It's all ants and rotting windowsills.
God damn it. And fucking mosquitoes, too, apparently.
And cats that keep you awake at night.
All right, let's take it from the top. All right, number one low point, which is actually kind of a high point because of how stupid it is.
The transition.
At the very beginning, Umbrella shows up to take out the boat, I guess, or board it. Not clear. If you're boarding it, why are you shooting missiles? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But okay,
Umbrella's tactical MO is quite confused. They need to take a step back, write down their objectives, and then consider what they're doing and how it helps them further those objectives.
Oh, but I guess it's the Red Queen controlling them, and right now it's like... It's the only AI it has is like StarCraft easy AI. So it's like
just fucking kill everyone, destroy the ship and get on it and destroy it more.
My favorite is that they shoot a refugee with a net gun. Like they're going
to, I was
going to
say that. That was such a good moment.
Go for it, man.
So they board it. They're slaughtering everybody. They're shooting missiles at it. And then there's one scene of a dude being netted by an Umbrella agent.
While another Umbrella agent shoots him multiple times.
Oh, I missed that part.
It's like, what are you trying to achieve here?
Like, how do you even film that?
And they all appear to be part of the same Umbrella hive mind, too, so they should fucking know what they're
like,
trying
okay,
to do.
So during filming, like, are they like, guys, why is there a single net gun and, like, 50 normal guns?
And missiles.
Oh, man. Was everything done so individually that the director loses... the context for why there's a net gun? Is that why this stuff happens?
I don't know, Rahul. I think you just thought the net looked cool. And you know what?
It did look cool.
It looked pretty cool in slow motion, Rahul.
All right. Sure.
You're going to point out stupid shit in this movie, and I'm mostly going to agree that it's stupid, but my counterpoint is always going to be, but it looked pretty cool.
All right.
I'm going to go with another one, which is, so Alice has this kind of newt thing going with this deaf girl she finds. And Alice, for some reason, knows sign language, which, I mean, it's great that people know sign language. It's also kind of weird that she apparently just picked it up on spec and has never shown this skill before, but whatever. But at one point, she's like, I'm going to keep you safe. And then almost instantly, the little girl gets abducted by a licker. It's literally it's almost an It's Always Sunny gag level, like just say something instantly contradicted.
That's almost a high point. I guess that's the beauty of these RE movies.
Yeah. Anyways, Brandon, you said you had a bunch of small ones.
Let's see. So the first small one, oddly enough, is actually during the recap that I was a little disappointed because there's a line that goes something like, despite the apocalypse they created, Umbrella does blah, 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 whatever. And I was like, how did they not write something like, despite the apocalypse they created, they continued towards human extinction? Because the movies go apocalypse extinction. Like, that would have been an amazing
setup. That
would have
been very smart.
But I don't think anybody would have cared.
Yeah, I think that's a little too far for this movie.
I don't know why it bothered me so much, but I was like, how did they not do that?
Yeah, well, you saw a layup and they didn't take it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Brandon's mind rebelled.
The other, like, nitpicky one is I was just like, why did the licker, like, swat away two big guys and then take, like, the smallest child there back to, like, put in an egg sack like he's storing food? But it's like, this thing is the size of an elephant. Like, why is he taking this little child to store his food? Like, why didn't he just take one of the guys he's swatted like a fly? No,
maybe it's like one of those things where, like, in the wild in Africa, like a lion won't kill like a baby gazelle because it's like brain is confused.
That would be the opposite of this.
No, it, like, didn't kill her.
I mean, didn't kill her, it kidnapped her, but I just meant, like, I don't know, he didn't eat anybody, and if he was taking her to eat her later, like, he took the smallest thing he could eat, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, why? Also, he also took that other guy, he took Oliveras.
Yeah, so he did have a bigger person.
So
also, we don't really find out what the fuck he's doing putting things in those cocoons.
Yeah.
It seems like a very strange move for the licker to suddenly start doing alien shit.
Yeah, maybe they were very, kind of like elaborate egg sack looking things.
Maybe it recognized that she was deaf and was trying to heal her.
Why would you possibly think it was that? What evidence?
Well, originally the T-virus was to heal that one chick's, like, I don't even remember what it was, but it was to heal that little girl's something. So maybe he's like...
So your argument is that anything infested with the T-virus, if you expose it to a little girl that the T-virus perceives as sick, it will attempt to heal them.
I'm sorry, Lawrence. Maybe you don't have the same maternal instinct, Brandon, than I do.
Okay, fair. I got a lot of paternal instinct, but yeah, I will grant my maternal instinct is pretty lacking. You got me there.
Okay, so I have a low point that's also a high point. God damn it.
You're coming around.
I'm coming around. I really wish I wasn't. But so at the beginning, they're like, computer is rebooting. And then I noticed that the lights were turning on slow and that everything was like, standby. And I'm like, I think the computer's slower. I think the computers are getting slower, you know?
Sure. I agree. I don't understand, but I agree.
I'm like, why? Why is everything so slow?
It does seem like this is the last computer on Earth, kind of, so they should have made it the fastest computer on Earth. Maybe.
And not. And all the fail safes are fail open. Like, they didn't learn from movie one, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Also, the facility is underwater.
Yeah.
Right? To prevent escape. But I'm like, dude, that's not something the T virus, bro.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think that'll stop the T virus?
Yeah, if anything, the T virus, as we know, kind of loves water and eating it. As we know from when it drank all the fresh water.
So I don't get it. But maybe that was made before the T virus escaped, and that's just the last facility.
What
did they say that they bred bioweapons and sold them to everybody there?
Yeah, they were like, what they said, I don't even know that they said they developed anything, but they ran simulations. So they, like, made a simulation of Moscow, then showed that to the Russians in order to sell them on it. Be like, look how effective this is in a simulation of Moscow. And it's like, I don't know that you need to be that specific. But
yeah, okay. Well, it was even weirder. They made a simulation of Moscow and showed it to the Americans. They made a simulation of America and showed it to the Moscow. Then they've got China and Japan. And I think you could just have done a generic city and a little CGI and saved a ton of money, Umbrella.
I mean, yeah, they did have
that. Do a simulation of once the infection escapes Moscow.
Yeah, right. That too.
No, and simulation, we're good.
Yeah. Don't ask me to see the graphs after 2 days out. It's fine, guys. Trust me. It's fine. Anyways, for me, let me think. They were actually gonna, when they said we're release the list Plagas Undead, I was like, okay, it's gonna just be those like Spaniards from Resident Evil 4. And I was kind of disappointed. But then it just turned out to be kind of a generic collection of zombie soldiers with like Red Army and Nazi uniforms and guns and stuff. And the fact that Umbrella has apparently made zombies that can operate firearms and fire them with reasonable accuracy, and it seems they can control them, kind of makes me wonder why they were bothering with any of this stuff. Because isn't that like the end state you wanted, you know?
I thought it was.
Controllable zombies with guns.
They did have a chainsaw, which that was like Spain.
Yeah, they had one actual Spain guy. I think he also had the bag over his head, but everyone else was just like Nazi zombies. Ripping off from Call of Duty, given the timing.
I don't really like remember the details of Resident Evil 4 or like much other stuff related to that, but I kind of thought it was weird that they were zombies at all, because I thought since they said that they were releasing Las Plagas, that they were just going to be parasite infected people, but they were zombies. So it's like, were they parasite infected zombies?
Oh no. Michelle Rodriguez does later inject herself with the Las Plagas thing and it makes her super. So,
and yeah, and she's still just a human.
What the fuck is going on? Yeah. Although maybe if we'd waited a little longer, she would have rotted.
Yeah, true.
She seemed pretty jazzed to inject herself with it, though, and I don't think that would be the case if it was going to make her rot.
Hmm. But she was imprinted, right?
So. Hive-minded.
Yep. Oh, apparently when they're running these simulations, also Umbrella will, they just grow, massive numbers of people in this sort of people factory we see later and throw them out in the simulations and then kill them all. And there's got to be a cheaper way of doing that, guys. You could just, use a computer to simulate it, you know?
Nope. We got to do it this way.
I mean, not with how slow their computers apparently are.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, why was Alice's old team part of the 50 base people?
I don't fucking know. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
And you might have been like, well, that she'll won't want to fire on Oded Fair because they used to be together or something. But that they never test that. And it does not seem to be an issue later on when she has to shoot at them. She kind of just does it. Oh, fuck. I got a high point. The final fight. Pretty cool, I thought. You got a guy playing Leon who's terrible. But interesting.
So bad.
And then Boris Kodjo, who I don't know why he's in the strike team, because he was a pretty good zombie fighter guy, but his background is just that he's a professional sports player. And I don't know why he would be part of your elite strike force instead of a soldier. But anyways, it's them versus a supered up Michelle Rodriguez. They very quickly empty all their guns into her and she resists them. So of course they just start fist fighting with her. And then it's Alice versus Sienna Miller. And Alice has twin ice axes and Sienna Miller has a weird bow staff with blades on the end. And I thought it was just pretty cool kung fu. Although the ending is kind of, it takes Alice so long to think my friend is mind controlled by this spider. I better rip the spider off. Even though in the last movie, she found out about the mind control spiders. That should have been her opening move.
Yeah. Shoot for the spider.
Yep. Or rip it off.
It seemed like Valentine, because she kicked her and Alice went flying. So was Valentine also powered up?
Yeah, I assume so. Everyone seems kind of pretty powered up in this. And and then she eventually defeats Michelle Rodriguez by, she can't figure out how to kill her, so she shoots her through the ice. And then there's all these water zombies from the base underneath, and they all drag her down and eat her. And then I thought that the scene of the water zombies converging on her from under the ice
was legitimately cool. Yeah. That was pretty cool. And again, if there's that just proves that this water, it doesn't protect
you. Yeah, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't stop the zombies, but it does stop you. So it only plays to the zombies' strengths. It's worse than nothing.
Okay, so do you remember when Alice and Ada Wong are holed up and the team comes to talk to them instead of just immediately eliminate them for what doesn't matter? The team dispatched by the Queen, the Valentine's team. Anyway, one of Valentine's team shoots a rocket or like a grenade at Ada Wong, and she has time to see the grenade, run back into the house, grab her gun, shoot a hole in the floor to dodge the grenade. And I was like, that might be a little much.
So the grenades are as slow as the computer, Rahul.
Like, why didn't you just have her, like, I don't know, hide in a closet or
kick the grenade away and then do the thing, you know?
Or she could have shot the grenade. That would have been cool.
Yeah, people love it when you shoot grenades.
They sure do.
I got one. So they're coming, the strike team's coming up to the facility, and one of them's like, I don't think anyone's here. And the other one's like, how do you know? And he's like, it looks abandoned. And then we cut over to these massive exhaust fans, like, that are like half a mile big or whatever, and they're all running.
Also, you just blow them up and that takes down the whole, I mean, my God, what a talk.
It's
about
not that. A well-designed facility.
Yeah, the chain reaction sort of that caused was a little weird.
Yeah. Anyways, Brandon, you got some more low points?
I don't know. I mean, I also thought, I don't think this was the first time they did this in the series, actually, but it was also funny. I think when Wesker was talking about something and they had like a little side screen that had, you know, generic technical looking readouts of like T-virus information or whatever, and they have a little model of it, and it's like a fucking 3D T.
Hell yeah.
Like a T-virus.
It's never, like,
okay, I don't think
never
that's
not funny.
Maybe why it's called that, but I'm just going
to
stick with
it
that
is,
now.
Brandon.
Yeah. Oh. I'm sorry, Brandon. You went to school for, was it, it wasn't biology, was it?
No. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, I can't tell if this is a low point or a high point, but there are multiple, like, bits in this where someone gets punched really hard and then we get an x-ray view of like their bones breaking or their heart stopping or something. I thought that was funny. I don't know. It's weird.
I
think it's ripped off from Dead Alive or whatever that movie is.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting the first time, and then they did it a second time and I'm like, wait, is this gonna be like a thing now? This is weird.
And then they did it a third time, but I don't think they do it in the next movie. So it was a thing, but very briefly.
Yeah, Michelle Rodriguez has the power of quivering palm for some reason. She's discovered this, so she starts using it. She starts pushing that button. It works, it's effective, but it doesn't quite take out Alice, because Alice's heart is strong.
Yeah, I couldn't tell what happened, because we do see Alice's heart stop, but then she just kind of keeps moving.
Like, that's fine, I didn't need that organ.
Yeah.
It seemed like it worked, but then she just, like, pushed through it.
Yeah, she decided she didn't want to die. So she didn't.
Yeah, that other guy was too weak. He just fell over.
Yeah. Oh, is Wesker the president at the end of this? I think he is.
Yeah.
Arguably.
He's sitting at the desk, right?
Yeah. Alice Conner
makes
he's
you queen. I mean, king, or goddammit, president.
Yeah. So yeah, Emperor. This ends with Wesker briefly being the president of the United States and probably the world, too. So I've always like held on to that as one of the funnier things that happens in this series.
It's pretty great.
I did go ahead.
Well, just like you kill enough people and the presidential line of succession just falls to rando corporate heads.
That makes sense.
Anyways, Brandon.
I was going to say, I did also like how when they get to the Oval Office, he does some like brief intro. Then he does his super speedy dash over to her and injects her in the neck. And it's like, he fucking does this every time he meets her. But this time it was to T-virus her, not to anti-T-virus her.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's like, hello, and just injects you.
And this time he could have probably just said, hey, can I give you your powers back? And she would have said yes.
Right.
Or at least tried it before he just, but no, it's an old habit and it died very hard of just injecting Alice without her permission.
It's just a bad habit.
Yeah.
So this is a low point. It's also a high point.
Yeah.
It's like whenever the Red Queen pops up in that little like HUD kind of thing, I almost started laughing because I'm like, who is she talking to? She's just like, releasing bioweapon. Detected enemies in New York level. I'm like, who are you talking to?
Maybe that shows up on the like goggles of all those hunk looking motherfuckers who are the like umbrella goons. They're like, I don't need this information. You're stopping me from shooting. Yeah. Oh, I have a low point, which is that while I was watching this, my baby vomited on me 3 times, and I didn't like that.
Your baby's infected
with the T virus. I hope he bonds with it successfully. Otherwise, we're gonna have a problem.
So too.
Yeah. Fuck.
It'd be useful to have mind powers.
Yeah. Anyway, Brandon, do you got anything else?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got one.
Hit me.
So why at the end were they even okay? So they've destroyed the facility pretty much effectively. Uh-huh. Why does Valentine even go for Alice at that point? What is she? Why does she?
The computer told her to kill her. What more do you want, man?
Okay. All right. Sure. Sure.
I mean, is the, for that matter, like, is the computer still functional? Like, how is the little spider?
The next movie, right?
I mean, maybe, so. I guess they maybe still have their satellite network working, because otherwise, how would the spider even still be like active and sending commands?
I don't know. Maybe
is that
it's
how the spider works?
It appeared to be. I mean, it controlled the.
But yeah, people. It controls them. But is it like you download a command into it, or is it like continuously connected?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think that there's enough evidence for us to have a meaningful answer to that.
We do know that it runs pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's why the computer's so slow. It's like spending all its energy on that shit.
Yeah, it's not easy.
It's got like 1,000 processes running in the background of controlling each of those hunk guys and all of its clones and shit.
Was that in one of the games, the mind control robot spiders?
There's something like that in Silent Hill, but it's been so goddamn long since I played anything in Resident Evil that I can't remember. It's a very video gamey idea, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. They're kind of gigantic, though, so it seems like, I don't know.
It seems like at the very least they should put a shirt on her that covers it to make it slightly less obvious that you should rip it off.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, for real.
Although,
just a strap? You know, that would also work.
Yeah, although on the other hand, then we wouldn't get to see her boobs, which would have made me sad. Because, you know, she's very hot.
We didn't... Never mind, I don't want
to go. I mean, we got to see more of her boobs than we would have if she had worn a normal shirt.
Yeah, true. Why didn't they also put it on Michelle Rodriguez? Or why is it?
Because she's a clone, so they don't have to do that to control her. It's airtight, Rahul. Airtight.
Why do they even bother with Sienna?
I guess my other question is, why are apparently the umbrella, she says there's 50 base models, and by an astonishing coincidence, like 10 of them are people Alice has met before. And you know what? That's weird.
Was it trying to train on how to defeat Alice?
I mean, if so, those people are the wrong people to do
it. Alice has already lost her powers, so this is pointless.
Makes it even more embarrassing that she keeps winning.
Easy target.
Yeah, I'm a fuck. I don't know. Let me look over
like,
my...
Do you think that this stuff is actually intentional?
No.
They intentionally made it like so that nothing made sense, so it sticks in your mind better?
I think that literally what this happened was Paul W. S. Anderson thought about 10 to 15 really cool images and then backfilled the movie from that. And I kind of love that about it. Because they're really good images. Like that scene where Alice is going after the liquor and for no particular reason, there's like a minute of shots of her backlit walking down that hallway while the lights along the hallway kind of like go towards her like aircraft taxi lights or something. Pretty cool. Didn't really matter to the movie.
That
cool,
was actually, though. That was actually, that reminded me that was actually a low point. The laser hallway scene recreation thing. Because I felt like that was way lower than the scene in the first movie. Like, there was really, I don't know how to put it, but like, it was like they were doing a little throwback to like, oh, hey, remember the laser hallway? But like, this is a super shitty version of it. And we're just going to do like 10 seconds of her running away from it.
Yeah.
That was just,
although it was pretty cool the way that it took place in this weird infinite white void of like reflections.
Yeah. That part was cool where it like,
yeah,
the whole lighting, you know, lights going out thing was cool, but
The lasers itself did suck, though. Yeah. And the fact that we're five movies in it, three of them have had laser hallways is pretty fucking weird.
Also,
the laser
hallway
is a bigger character in this than the Nemesis, for instance.
Also, like, they're doing this laser hallway, and she's, like, trapped. She's running. She's running towards the door, which is closed. But then, you know, it's got the, you know, whatever grocery store motion sensor, because as she approaches, it just opens, and then she escapes the laser hallway.
Yeah,
like, what the fuck was the point of that?
So maybe the Red Queen is actually working with her.
I mean, the Red Queen does turn good in the next movie. I don't know if they explain why.
So maybe all this was to train Alice for what's to come.
Of just being betrayed and helped by seemingly random people and then running away from zombies like she has in every other movie in the series.
Hey, man. why didn't they bring the Nemesis back as a monster?
Because the Nemesis kind of sucked, dude.
Yeah, but it would have been fun.
Can you imagine?
But you don't like the...
Sorry, go ahead.
You don't like the fucking hammer guy? What's wrong with you? That dude rules. He's got a hammer. He's got a lot of stuff through his head for some reason.
Yeah. I agree. But, you know. Okay, we get it done without the liquor and have the nemesis, like two nemesis.
Like, having a nemesis crawl on the walls? Are you insane?
Yeah, that's a great idea. It'd be like a nemesis, like the top half of a nemesis, like, glued to a liquor.
Dude, just put a gun on the back, like, mount a gun on the back of the giant liquor.
Yeah.
Okay, hear me out. It's a liquor, but it has laser eyes. And it's got its normal head with laser eyes. And then in the center of its back, the upper half of a nemesis. And then for a tail, I don't know, one of those Nazi zombie guys. Yeah, it's just
like a scorpion tail with him on the top.
Yeah, it's just a chimera, except much more poorly constructed.
So it's perfect for Umbrella, then.
Perfect.
It's stupid, it doesn't work, and it seems really expensive. That's kind of the area where they live. And it's
especially vulnerable to Alice's bullets for some reason.
Yeah, the fact that the liquor has an exposed brain that apparently, like, if you shoot it, it hurts. Terrible design, I feel.
What? I thought the brain was just useless matter. Didn't the Egyptians figure that out?
Oh, fair enough.
I mean, it certainly seems like it, because he keeps getting shot in the head and coming back, so.
But it does at least stun it. But yeah, you're right. As the Greeks knew, the brain is actually just an elaborate system to cool your blood down and does nothing else.
Everybody else shot the liquor in the brain and did nothing, but Alice shot it twice or whatever, and it just falls over, stunned.
I guess Alice is special.
She's super special.
Yeah. Anyways, any other high points, low points, whatever? I thought the sequence where the Alice clone, like, is in suburbia and then zombies come and everything goes to shit was pretty cool. I kind of guessed halfway through that it was probably going to be an Alice clone, because it's always an Alice clone. But I just thought it was a pretty good, well-done sequence, you know?
Yeah, how many movies have had Alice clones die?
I think all of them except the first one.
Yeah. Maybe the second
one. No, maybe the second one didn't either, actually. Maybe it's just three.
But definitely three through six are going to go pretty heavy on the Alice clones.
Oh, that's so good.
Although I think that the revelation in six that Alice was herself a clone does mean that all of them have Alice clones, although they only die in three through six. Anyways, also there's Mutalisks at the very end.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Also,
yeah, they add all these other cool Resident Evil designs, but they're like, nope, we want a Mutalisk. So, got a Mutalisk.
I did actually like the flamethrower they had on the walls outside the White House. That was a pretty cool image.
Yeah, the final scene of this promises a very cool action sequence that the other movie just kind of doesn't show you. And I don't know why, because the other movie, I don't remember it having that many action sequences. And it seems like you should just put all your money into that if you have the option of doing the, like, massive last stand of humanity thing, you know, with all the cool, like, tanks and shit. Like, imagine how fun it would be to see a tank try to fight a licker, you know?
Wouldn't it just, I think it would just own it.
Like the giant liquor, though, where it's like bouncing around and stuff.
Maybe like a tank plus a helicopter.
Yeah.
Well, a liquor. I know in this movie, maybe a liquor would just pick up a tank and throw it. But like, how is a liquor going to damage a tank?
I mean, they're super strong.
I love that you're just like blood going to tear a tank.
How is this thing that doesn't exist going to damage a tank? I don't know.
No, okay, even with the physics of this world, like, let's say the liquor has,
it has psychic powers claws. Now.
What?
What if the liquor has psychic powers now?
Okay, if it has psychic powers, all bets are off. Then I don't know.
Even though,
but let's say it just has, like, really big claws. That's his primary weapon. And those claws are made out of organic matter. It can't take a tank.
I kind of picture it like that scene in the first Hulk movie where the Hulk kind of just like is so strong that he can like get his fingers into the seams and like tear the turret off and shit.
I mean,
man, that's a good movie.
A tank is like 40 tons.
Well, like even the first movie with like the liquor that's probably the smallest of that they've ever been in this series, and it had claws, it like ripped open the side of that subway car, which yeah, isn't armored. But then if you scale the liquor up, then maybe it could take on something that was armored.
Yeah, but I just don't see how you can, even if it was armored, there's no way for organic claws to dig into the armor.
What if the liquor got its friend the Mutalist to spit some acid on it first to weaken the armor?
Okay, maybe that would work, but they don't communicate that well.
Well, maybe they do under the commands of the Red Queen. She appears to be able to control zombies.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Oh, did I say this already? I think the scene where like Michelle Rodriguez gets shot a bunch and it doesn't matter and then the bullets pop out of her fingertips. Very strange way of doing that and very cool.
Yeah, that was very strange. I was like, why didn't they just come out of the holes they came in? But okay.
It's because her circulation is so good at that point. I think that's what they're trying to say.
Her circulation is so powerful that it can push bullets around, but that's actually terrible because it makes the bullet wounds
very
so
high
much
blood
bigger.
Pressure, man.
None of the bullets were fragmented either. Yeah, so I guess the T virus consumed her bones.
Or the T virus also, it healed her and the bullets.
Oh. Yeah,
mistook the bullets for a little girl with like a learning disability or something and attempted to heal them per your beliefs on how the T virus works.
Why doesn't Umbrella, I'm still confused by why doesn't Umbrella do more cyborg stuff? Why doesn't it go in that direction? I know it's all about like biology, but
well, I mean, after the Nemesis got its ass kicked, they're like, cyborgs are no good. We're all in on weird goo monsters.
But the Nemesis wasn't a cyborg, was he?
Yeah, it was. He had pipes going in him.
Cyborg check mark.
I mean, show me a cyborg that doesn't have some tubes somewhere, man.
Okay. I don't think he was a fucking cyborg.
Okay.
I don't know. That could open up the door to some fresh new horrors, you know, once all this stuff is played out.
Like, what if we took, okay, instead of nails, what if we put like tubes through that guy?
Where?
I mean, in the tubes, dude.
That's how you make a cyborg. You put tubes like, in a guy.
Did you watch Inspector Gadget and you were like, this is how horror cyborgs are made?
Did that guy have tubes?
That was totally a horror show.
Yeah, he had plenty of tubes.
I mean, okay, which came first, do we think? RoboCop or Inspector Gadget? Because they're kind of basically the same guy.
Huh.
Inspector Gadget. Animated series. 1983. I'm onto something here. Let me see.
You are.
Oh my god.
Yeah, follow
okay.
this thread.
RoboCop came out 1987. Inspector Gadget 1983. I think
predates
we know what
RoboCop by 4 years, meaning
that RoboCop is just a ripoff of Inspector Gadget. Yes.
Which further means
that Resident Evil should have cyborgs.
Yeah. But they should be mostly Inspector Gadget-esque. Kind of bumbling.
A bunch of
mostly tube centric.
Yeah. Tubes and magnifying glasses.
And apparently Disney is working on a live action reboot of Inspector Gadget because the last one went so well.
Because of course they are.
Yeah.
Well, are they running out of things to reboot? I could reboot one of their reboots.
Yeah.
They should reboot Resident Evil.
I mean, they tried that with Welcome to Raccoon City, although I guess it wasn't Disney, if that's what you're saying should have happened.
I have not seen that.
Neither have I. I keep trying to say we should watch it for the pod because we are trying to do every live-action Resident Evil movie. And then Ronald responds with that gif of what's-his-face from the Green Mile saying how tired he is.
Gif, so, huh?
Yep. Gif.
It's Jif.
Oh, you know, I'm discovering something else. Guess what the name of
it's Jess.
Inspector Gadget's boss is.
Inspector Tube?
Chief Quimby. So, The Simpsons also ripped off Inspector Gadget.
Oh, shit.
Yep. Anyways, I need to get off this Wikipedia page. I mean, I feel the fact that I've spent like 5 minutes trying to mine comedy from the Inspector Gadget wiki probably means that I'm out of things to say. Do you guys have anything else you want to say about this movie?
Yeah, recounting it was kind of fun.
Yeah, did we, Raul, do you think that this movie might be a little bit better than you're giving it credit for? Keeping in mind that this movie has a scene where a flaming Nazi zombie shoots an RPG at a guy.
Yeah, no, it was a bad movie.
What about when they're like, hacker, find us a way out, and he hacks for 5 minutes, and then he's like, the way out is we should walk through this door behind us and go out the back.
Follow the exit signs. Say what you will about the Red Queen, but she follows code.
Yeah, Umbrella does not need fucking like fines from the fire marshal.
No way.
They're also very wheelchair accessible.
Yeah. Because
they believe in that shit.
Can you imagine the cleaning staff for that place though?
I assume it's mostly zombies.
Yeah, it's probably
or maybe zombies. They just turn on the fucking laser grid or whatever and it incinerates everything.
Like, who cleans the fucking simulations up? Like, anyway.
Again, I think they just turned out loose some more zombies and let them eat everything or something.
Yeah, I actually thought about that because, kind of unrelated, I was watching something about this haunted house thing called McCamey Manor. If you haven't heard of it, it doesn't really matter. But there was discussion about it being a hoax and saying, like, oh, there's this thing you can see in the video where he's like cutting people's hair, but it's like on a table where there's clearly previously other people's hair. It's like he's not cleaning any of this stuff up. He's just like keeps redoing it. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of like these simulations. Like they're creating all these dead bodies by releasing zombies, but then they completely clean and completely rebuild the houses, all the broken doors and all the electrical, like all the lights and everything. And they're just like running again. Like, what are they learning from that? So much work.
So much. So much intelligence.
Yeah. I will say that probably the only thing in our discussion that really slightly changed my mind about it is that Lawrence pointed out that they did clearly give up on there being a plot. And they're like, we're just not going to say anything about anyone's motivation because it doesn't matter. It's not going to make anything better. We're just going to jump from one action scene to the other with as little explanation as possible. And I can kind of appreciate that. But otherwise, my opinion's mostly unchanged.
When do you watch a movie and you're like, they've given up on the plot? You're like, that's all right. It's a rare breed of movie that lets you say that.
I can respect that.
Anyways, I guess let's get into some recommendations and cautions. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Well, okay, wait. Last thing I got to say is that also, clearly, from our discussion, we proved that everything Ronald said was completely wrong.
Yeah, 100%. Oh,
also productive.
Mathematical.
Yep. Ronald looks like a fucking idiot, as always. Oh, also, one last thing. So this is apropos of basically nothing because he has such a small role, but Kevin Durant is in this, and I fucking love Kevin Durant. He's just got one of those weird sort of feral, smirky faces, and it's always a delight when he shows up in something. And in here, he has this truly insane death sequence where he's like, stay behind to hold off Umbrella, because someone has to, and he says he's having a pretty good time shooting them. And then they bring out Ada Wong, who, as far as we know, he doesn't know or care about. And they're like, throw down your guns and step out. So he like throws his gun up. He steps out. Or first, he lights a stogie. Then he's smoking a stogie, and he steps out, and he throws his gun into the air. And they shoot him a bunch, and he falls down. And then he grabs his gun as it's falling and gets back up and shoots one of them before they mow him down.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, but I thought it was cool. And also the sheer balls of like, we're going to bring back every single character from the series who has died, and then they're going to just be faceless goons who die again almost instantly. It's like, I don't know why they did that, but it's very funny to me. I'm just how, like a total waste of time.
How could they even do it with that one guy who got diced?
He's a clone, man. I don't know what to tell you.
DNA.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened. We had the question at RE1, what happened to the pile of meat? That's what happened.
Or it could have just been that every single person we have met up to this point has been a clone of one of the stock umbrella clones.
Oh.
This is like, this is going to be like the Matrix. It was all just, the whole thing was just a simulation.
Yep. And you know what? It made everyone buy the T-virus because they're like, we can't let anyone else drink and human civilization and drink the oceans and shit. Anyways, recommendations and cautions. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Brandon, would you like to go first?
Sure. I realize now that this just kind of makes this episode even more negative, but I only have one caution, which is, surprisingly, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
I mean, it's surprising that you thought that that could be good, honestly.
Well, so, I mean, yeah, here's my rationale for thinking it might be good. That I just thought it was going to be cool that, like, it was so absurd that Winnie the Pooh is going to be a psychopathic killer that might be funny. But the problem is that everything is executed so poorly that I just can't enjoy that aspect of it. The dialogue is so bad. Like, the Christopher Robin just like keeps, he says stuff that like he shouldn't really say because he doesn't really know what's going on, but he's saying things as if he knows what happened, which is very weird. And he just keeps repeating the same thing over and over and over. The girls that are like on this vacation that then later get terrorized by Pooh and Piglet, they are like below the normal level of stupidity of like people in horror movies. Like, usually regular horror, right, the victims are so stupid that it's like really frustrating as a viewer. And usually good horror, or like what usually makes horror better, is when their people are not stupid and they are sort of losing anyways. And this like goes in the other direction. It's like Scary Movie-esque, like just deliberately stupid and slow and just making terrible decisions and or no decisions. The one thing I thought might be cool is there is a scene where there's like a, maybe it's like a lap pool, because it's a long, skinny pool indoors and they're trying to escape from them. But the little sidewalk area on the edge is kind of thin. So when they get startled, they just fall in the pool. Well, then they don't think to just get out of the pool. They're like going down it long ways, but they're like, you know, walking in chest high water makes you very slow. Well, Piglet, instead of like walking down the sidewalk to go hit them with the sledgehammer, he just gets in the pool and he starts walking after them in chest high water. So it's this like uber slow motion chase where they're just like 8 feet apart the whole time. It's just like, I'm coming for you, basically. And he's just like gaining an inch on her at a time until he eventually bashes her head in. But it's like, but even that, they didn't really shoot it in as funny of a way as if they were like deliberately trying to make it funny. It was just very weird.
Is the movie intended as a comedy? Like, it no. seems like it should be, but then I read this summary and it sounded like just really brutal slasher shit.
Yeah, I think it should have been more of a comedy or a parody, but it was definitely very serious. And it was also kind of annoying because they did other things, like where they gave the backstory, but they left out characters like Kanga and Roo and Tigger. And I thought, okay, maybe that's because they didn't have enough money to have like prosthetic adult versions of all these characters, so they're just going to write them out. But then they did have Owl and Rabbit, and then they didn't have them in the backstory, but then they didn't have them as adults, and they never explained like why they didn't have them. They were just not there. And they could have explained it, because the whole thing of why Pooh and Piglet went crazy is because they were starving and they were forced to eat Eeyore. And they could have said, oh, they also went further and they ate Rabbit and Owl or whatever, but they didn't. They just ignored that they existed after that point. I don't know. Yeah. Things like that.
I don't know. It seems like having a goofy premise like that and then not being a comedy is just such a stupid way of going about making that movie.
Yeah, it was unfortunate.
Yeah. Oh, well, Rahul, do you got something?
I have no recommends or cautions this time around.
Powerful. All right, so my recommendation is a movie I saw on Hulu. It just came out this year. It's called No One Will Save You. It's a pretty standard, I guess it's not a standard. It's an alien invasion movie, but the sort of twist is, one, there's basically no spoken dialogue, and two, it's like entirely focused on one woman's experience of the alien invasion, and the invasion is basically gray alien, so it kind of plays like if Signs didn't suck, or rather, if Signs was all the good part of Signs, you know? Pretty good, pretty freaky. It has an astonishingly bleak ending. A lot of people are like complaining or saying the ending's weird. I actually really dug the ending just for like the sort of shattering like fuckedness of it. You know, it's one of the meaner mainstream horror endings I've seen. I appreciated that. Although I will say it's an hour and 30 minutes and it could have lost about 10 to 15. The alien chase sequences get a little bit repetitive and I would have lost one. And it also has that Return of the King thing where it ends like three or four times. So maybe cut two of the endings. Keep the last one though. The last one is very good. And then for a caution, it's a 2017 novel called Into the Drowning Deep by Mira Grant. This is a sequel and kind of also a just rewriting and expansion of the novella I recommended last time, Rolling in the Deep. And this one, there's a documentary company sent out an expedition to look for mermaids, and then the expedition got wiped out, and there was some like video footage of what happened that no one believed. So somehow, even though the cable company is basically the Sci-Fi Network, they have now acquired apparently about $1 billion to build a custom cruise ship and fill it with state-of-the-art equipment to send out another expedition to prove what happened to the first one and be like, we didn't fake the footage. These guys did actually get all eaten by monsters. And the main problem I had with it is that, you know, it basically just does the novella again, but much more slowly. And every time it builds up a good head of steam or a little bit of tension, it will just suddenly have the characters start reflecting on their childhoods or something. And that's fine at the start of the novel, but at a certain point, I know every character's childhood, and you should stop doing that and just let me see the monsters eating people. And I got very frustrated with it towards the end. It gets fractionally better in the last, like, tenth, maybe last eighth, somewhere in there, where she finally stops with the goddamn character work and just has monsters eating people and the people fighting back. But, man, it's 15 hours. I think there's probably a good, like, 7 hours in there, but goddamn was it tiring.
Speaking of amazing character work, my favorite fantasy books, the Bartimaeus trilogy, I think handles character work really well, where for the first two books they don't reveal much about the one of the main dude's past, but then the main dude is like sort of impressed into servitude, and he just gets more and more tired and ragged and on the verge of death as the book goes on. And because he's so tired, he starts having like flashbacks, like kind of, you know, like back to his younger days.
That actually sounds like a very interesting and good way of doing it, where you're kind of building up the mystery of the character almost, you know?
Yeah, it's just so organic, you know, like you've been tired and your mind just wanders. That's exactly what it was. It works perfectly.
Yeah, that's like way better than what was going on here, which is just every time a character, like basically anything happened to a character, there'd be like, I did the audiobook, so I'm doing like minutes instead of pages, but there'd be like 10 fucking minutes of like, this is what the character's childhood was, and this is why they're hunting for mermaids now. Oh, I guess, spoilers, the monsters are mermaids. It tells you on the back of the book, so it's not like a mystery or anything.
Ah, a ripoff of Pirates of the Caribbean, as usual.
I mean, they come up with a pretty novel explanation for why the fuck mermaids could exist, but it's, man, just...
Wait, so it isn't just a dude banged a fish?
Nope.
Ah! Well, I'm out of ideas.
Rahul is looking at his aquarium and being like, I'm sorry, guy, I thought that would work.
Damn it.
Yeah, anyways, finally, Rahul, do you have a plug?
Yeah, I'd like to plug General Motors. Okay. For confirming that it will drop Android Auto and Apple CarPlay from all future EVs starting in 2024.
Sounds like a great idea.
Which is just an amazing idea. it's just so good, you know? Like, these auto manufacturers are legendary for the quality of the software they put into their cars.
Are they proposing to make their own smartphone, or what the fuck?
They're going to stick with their own software. I don't. They're not going to make their own phone. They can't. But they're going to stick with their own software. It's such a good idea.
Man, my dad has like an SUV from that brief period between when they added smartphone and integration and when Android Auto and Android Auto and whatever the car Apple one
CarPlay.
Is. CarPlay became standard. And it has the worst interface I've ever seen of anything. So,
You said before they had that?
Yeah. Now you just plug your phone in and it reads everything off the phone and it's basically the same. This is just like really fucking.
That's how every car I've had has been, because I don't have anything this new. Uh-huh. And it's just like laggy and it crashes on Bluetooth. It's bad.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll get it right this time, man.
It's just such a crazy decision. Like as your experience as a driver is you want your stuff from your phone on the screen.
Yep. And also you really kind of want it to be the same in any car you care to like use it on. So you don't have to learn a new interface when you're borrowing like your friend's car for the day or whatever.
Yeah.
Or a rental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just truly an epic decision. I was floored when I heard that. I was like, you're going to make a new car without the feature everybody wants. All right, cool.
And I guess for my plug, well, I guess this is more just a thing, but you know, are you my mommy? I am now, which is a thing Alice says at one point. Which
Latch creepier when you said it.
Yeah, that tone of voice.
Yeah.
It's all, I just wanted to illustrate the power of context. Anyways, Rahul, I don't know. Anything else, anyone?
No.
Nope.
Okay, well, from all of us at Bad Time Radio, don't worship Satan. It's bad for you. And no matter who you are or what your background is, remember that just like Albert Wesker, you too could grow up to be president of the United States, depending on kind of what happens with the T-virus.
And how many people you kill.
Yep. Go throw your sunglasses at some people and eventually you'll get there. Anyways, signing off.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag, or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I was gonna